So hopefully this isn't as long as our other closed sessions because we've done a lot of work in the interim. We are here to discuss the president, and I will turn it over to Russ to give you an update. We have dwindled down the issues to about four. So he will present those to you this evening and also give you just an update so that you're aware of what's going on.
Okay. So here's where we're at. Based on his salary, we're talking about one year and a half. Well, let me start from the beginning. He will retire on March the 13th, 14th of 2016. Remember we were talking about that three-year period after his retirement. We cut it down to 1 year and a half. Now, the total would
one year and a half of payment that he would
one
get
year and a half
instead of three. Okay.
No, you're right. 1 year and a half of payment after he retires.
After
so that 3 years, we would only pay him out for 1.5 years. The total would come up to $762,867.77. He requested, as you may recall, to be spread that out in 5 years. That we initially talked about April of 2016, starting the 5 years, and that, by the way, the annual payment would be $152,573.55, and that he would be given that for 5 years. The issue we propose April, he wants to be paid in January during each of those 5 years. Okay. Regarding emeritus status, he still wants emeritus status. Under the board policy, you have to have 15 years of service to get that, or an exception can be, unless it's an exception is granted by the board. So he is still wants that. And so it's up to the board whether they want to grant that or not.
Next item.
Can we ask questions as we go along?
What I'd like to do, and then we can ask as many questions as we want because that's what you have to be comfortable with. What I'd really like to do is just say, here are the four major issues.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then we can go through it. But we'll never get to the end, and I think it might be a bit confusing if we go back and forth. I mean, essentially, he wanted like $1.5 million.
Right.
The board authorized me to try to get that down to only a year and a half buyout. So we cut that essentially in half. So from 1.5 that I last reported to you, I'm now coming back to you at half of that amount at $762,000 as the entire lump sum. Next, not an economical issue to us, but is the emeritus status. If we want to do it, we do it. It's not a monetary issue. After that,
The other issue is the payment, the lump sum payment and those five equal payments. He wanted, in case he died, he wanted to go to his wife and or his estate. And under the last collective bargaining negotiations, that was one of the benefit of going to the estate was taken away, okay? And so I only repeat that because there were some board members who said mm-hmm. that he should only get whatever mm-hmm. they got, okay? So that's pending. The other item...
That lump sum payment,
they said at the end.
Okay,
At the end. Remember that lump sum payment of 726, 762,
mm-hmm.
spreading that in 5 years.
In case he didn't live the 5 years, any sum that was left over?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Correct.
That's all
that lump
wanted.
Sum
correct.
Goes to the estate or the wife.
Got
is that
it.
What
correct.
It is?
That's what
correct.
He's saying.
That's what he wants.
Ruder's
correct.
Saying.
That
okay.
he wants. And the next item is because, remember, originally he wanted to retire in July 2016. We wanted December. He's now coming back to March. He's saying that last quarter, I guess, from March to June, he's losing 1/4 of a payment that would go towards his compensation, and the net loss to him would be $20,000. So he's requesting, if I'm retiring, this is him speaking, if I'm retiring in March of 2016, I would like the loss of that additional contribution, which is $20,000. I'm just repeating where we're at.
Contribution, do you mean to
his retirement?
SERS?
Yes.
Okay.
To SERS. Correct. So he's saying, since I'm losing $20,000, I want that.
He wants what? The emeritus status?
No. Yeah, well, he does want the emeritus status.
But what does he
want? He's just asking for an extra $20,000.
Correct.
Towards his pension.
Correct.
Okay, so that accrues to the pension.
That's a new item. It was not a part of the original discussion. That's what I want to highlight.
Correct.
And what's the last?
The last item is I put in a provision of non-solicitation. He won't try to solicit if he does leave, that he won't try to take any of the administrators here with him or solicit for them to go, so he doesn't raid the administrators here. There was one minor change that he said, he thought it was overly broad, and that if he wanted to give career advice, he should be able to do that. But his attorney said, we can probably negotiate that. That's not a biggie.
Cool.
So those are the sticking points that we currently have.
Career advice. You mean he has to get permission to give people career advice?
No, he's asking permission to get career advice.
Oh, you mean
advice.
For him?
For him.
In other words, to get another job?
No. It's confusing. A non-solicitation clause that I imposed or suggested is that Dr. Bruder, not go to any of the administrators and start saying, come work with me or come work over here, whatever. And basically take people away.
Which you did with Harper people. Quite a few from Harper.
And this is a standard clause for superintendents, for presidents.
Right
no.
So
it rests, if I may.
Yes.
In order to just compartmentalize this and just say, what are the key issues here so that you can ask questions if you want? Lump sum 762. That was hitting a home run per what we had discussed. It takes into account our strengths and weaknesses of the situation. Emeritus status, to me, that's not a monetary issue. It's an ethical issue, I guess, or just a preference. March of 2016, this board most likely won't even start the presidential search until February or March of 2015, so therefore it does fall in line with how long it has taken us to negotiate this in order for us to properly find a president. The payments of the buyout going to his wife or the estate, that is Dr. Bruder's personal preference. And the one thing that we didn't, and I know this muddles things up, but the Homeland Security naming, that was per valid vote at a board meeting. What we did for that, because again, it's not technically monetary. I'm focused more on money right now, but you guys might be focused on other things. I don't know. We added language to that to say essentially to the effect he has to uphold the ethics and morale of this institution. If in the event something happens, then we have the freedom to rename, take down name, do whatever. But it's a compromise because it was a valid board approval in the past. But we added that language. So, yes.
When you're saying these issues, now are these the remaining issues, or is this all of what it would be his retirement package?
Aside from the other benefits that are available to other employees at the time of retirement.
He was asking for insurance. Is insurance going to be?
It would be lump sum into whatever's available to employees at the time of their retirement.
So, Nancy.
Well, when I retired, there was no insurance for
So let me put it this way.
So help me.
The only point regarding coverage would be this issue of Wendy or his estate getting his lump sum. He's going to be honoring whatever benefits any other retirees get, medical, whatever, health, whatever they get. That's what he's going to adjust.
Okay. I guess my question at this point, though, was that he had quite a long laundry list.
Yes.
So are those items already resolved and you're only bringing us the unresolved items, or are we only looking at the total retirement package? Are these four
items? These are the big bullet points. The other things have either gone away.
Meaning they're no longer an issue for
us. We agreed on them at the last discussion on this, right?
We haven't agreed on anything. So, I mean, we've taken direction from the board as to how we should negotiate going further. There was some complications in the negotiation. I felt that it was an appropriate time to lowball and say this is what the board wants, and you either take it or you have to deal with some other circumstances. He is deciding to take our lowball offer, well, tentatively deciding, so long as the board approves it. Right. But he had these other things that he came back with, such as he's concerned that if he were to pass away, if we were to do an installment payment of the buyout, does that get to go to his estate or his current spouse? So he came back with some of those things that at that point I said, well, we'll just bring it back to the board. We've achieved the number that the board was interested in. We've achieved getting a lot of the kind of riffraff gone, no free dinners, no things of that at the Mac, all that stuff's just gone. We got him to say that you took things away during your negotiations with other groups here, and if you want to stand on a platform that you treat all groups equally, then we're going to treat you equally. So we have done a lot of work in the last month to narrow it down. So what we are discussing here really is what the package would be.
That's the core.
That's the core.
That's the core.
Without having things in writing, you know, I get to be visual, and so in trying to remember what was asked for before.
Right.
So this is really the core.
This is the core.
You know, I mean, and we're basing this, like when you say the medical benefits, I don't know, are all the employee groups, his goal was all the employee groups are the same. Mm-hmm. So right now they're the same. When someone retires, they get some kind of medical.
Mm-hmm. It'd be the same as other retirees.
And he would get the same as what?
Correct. Or in other words, the only distinguishing issue that we're talking about that he is asking for that nobody else would get is the payment to Wendy or his estate if he was to pass away.
And
when that period or structure is paid.
Okay. And when I heard about that, there's two ways. You either make the exception because he's the president and say that that's acceptable to us, or another alternative, which I don't know if the board's comfortable with, is to say that you just pay him out a lump sum and we don't even have the installment payment, so we're not even dealing with a benefit that's not available to others that retire. So we either...
I thought he was the one that wanted it in the installment, probably for tax purposes.
He does. But we get to go back to him and say, this is how it is, accept it or leave it.
Right.
Do you know what the tax advantages are of that?
So the tax rate is higher because it looks at your income at a higher level. It's like, you know, when you're working for a company and they tend to give you a bonus.
Right.
That bonus is beneficial for the company's tax purposes, but it actually hurts the employee. It would be better for the employee if they put it through, you know, in each, like, paycheck throughout the year instead of just a lump sum. So it does get taxed at that higher tax bracket because the government assumes that that is your paycheck every week from that company. Mm-hmm. And that's how they tax it accordingly. So it's gonna put him up in...
Well,
significant tax bracket.
Right. But so
I don't know what that number is. Okay. So the other question that I had, speaking of that, is that the payments that we're making to him, is it like we're giving him like a paycheck every week? We're not giving him a lump sum one check each year, right?
Yes.
He asked for every January. He wants 152 a year.
Every January we would be giving him 152,573.55. Right. That's what we'd be giving him. So he wants that 762 amount broken out in five equal payments.
Really? He would be probably in like the 23% tax bracket there, and then if he got the lump sum it would be 33-ish, I think.
Which I'm not gonna do.
I'm estimating, and again, I'm not a tax accountant, but I'm estimating it would be about a 10% difference for him. So I get that.
Right. I mean, I understand it's not ideal. That's why he's not asking for it. But I'm just saying it's a consideration that the board should consider when we are weighing all options that, you know.
We don't want to set a precedent. We give him a lump sum at the beginning. No five-year buyout. Otherwise, he's going to take the...
I would prefer to do that.
What's that? Lump sum? Mm-hmm. It's cleaner.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cleaner.
But do we have to do it?
I don't know if he'll accept... You know what I mean? That might be the thing that tells... That he says, nah, I don't want 752 or 62,000.
Well, then you give him the extra $20,000. But I'm kind of opposed to giving him the extra $20,000, too.
For the simple fact that he... Oh, I'm sorry. That he didn't ask for it in the first place, and now all of a sudden he's tacking it on, and He's the one who came back and said, okay, I'll settle on March 2016, mm-hmm. but because I'm doing that now, give me more money. Well, so, I mean, maybe can I get the feel from the board, though? It sounds initially we're like, hey, it's not our problem. We'd rather do it this way. But is it a deal breaker? I mean, if he says no, if he agrees to everything else and says no lump sum, I want it paid out, are you willing to walk away and say, then we're done negotiating? Or how strong are you on the it's either lump sum or installment
I'm
payment?
I'm willing to take what he offered. I think we should go back and try to get things changed around. But I think that this has gone on long enough. We had the vote of no confidence. The faculty thinks we're sitting there doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This will help if we can get this moved along.
Okay. But just, I'm not saying that we stop negotiating altogether, but I guess I did say that. Where are we on the lump first installment? Yeah.
Well, I just wondered, when we were doing the early earned compensation with the faculty, at least, some of the money you got, you know, because there was a financial incentive, some you got before you retired, some you got after you retired. College would give you money. Now, I got it, I can't remember for how many years, a couple years. Now, if I died, would the college still give it to me? Would the college, and I don't know if that ever happened. You know, that I wonder if, you know, in the spirit of trying to say, let's do what we did for other people, you know, I don't know if they ever had a situation where a retiree was expecting, retired, so I'm not smooth with my words, but whether a retiree was expecting money but died, and then what happened to the situation?
Well, under the old contract, meaning the collective bargaining agreements, if the retiree died before, meaning he gave his if the employee gave notice he was retired, but he died before he actually retired, meaning before he actually the effective retirement date, then no payments were get made to the estate. If the retiree died after he retired, then it would go to the estate. Okay.
That was the old
collective bargaining benefit. And then this last set of negotiations, that was taken away. So, basically, retirees who died after retirement, it would not go to their estate.
Yeah.
It would stop.
But that was for employees that were retiring as of last year.
Correct.
He wanted us to go retroactive and for all retirees stop it. And our board, well, I remember saying no. And we pulled that item and modified it. I think it was right before you got on. And said, no, you can't do that. People counted on that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we changed it.
So,
okay. So that would be an exception. We either make an exception for the president that he gets that, or we say.
Well, it will not be public, won't it?
I don't think we should make an exception.
The addendum will be public.
We shouldn't make. Wait, I'm.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Kathy wanted to talk earlier.
Okay, just the other thing is, I really hate to say this. I do, and I'm sorry about it. But March 31st is too long. As you know, I would be happy with 6 months. So for me, I think we should see if we can push them earlier.
That was pretty much done, I'll have to say. Through the negotiations Russ and I have gone through within the last mm-hmm. week, he's flat out not going with December, and I would recommend to this board that we can't even accomplish it at this point in time, because we're going to either, if we agree to anything, have a special board meeting or push this out to January. I'm sorry.
I was wanting to make sure that they looked like they were lifted up.
Oh, okay.
Good point.
I think for us to start this process, to start the national search for a president, we're not even going to start that until February or March of this year.
We need that
very
time.
Fast.
We need that time. To do it in 6 months.
The process is not good. We have a lot of people to make decisions.
But we need time, too.
And we want to do it right.
Not yet. I want to talk about it.
We go from zero to find a new president.
If that doesn't go anywhere, then we'll
Should we go point by point through the elements or something so we stay... A little bit focused.
Did we talk enough about the 762 number? I mean, I don't think we're going to get lower than that. That was what I was authorized I hit a home run, and I think on that one we did
good, Aaron. And I'm afraid that if we say we want him to take a lump sum, he's going to say, well, then I'm going to take this much hit, so you have to compensate me more. So that's the concern I have about messing around with that.
We can't make an exception.
You could do, it's either or. You take the lump sum, or you take your chances on Wendy not getting the payouts if you die.
Good idea.
When I was on the board before.
We have no motivation then to take the lump sum, because we're taking away, like, the lump sum motivation is that he gets all of his money.
Right.
And he can invest it, he can do whatever he wants for it. Or the alternative is spread it out over time and risk the fact that he doesn't collect all 762. So if we tell him you can take a lump sum or the installment, plus you don't get to get it to Wendy, he'll never take the lump sum if that's what you want to achieve.
No, wouldn't that incentivize him?
But he might, because then Wendy won't get payouts.
That would incentivize him to do
it,
right?
Okay, all right, sorry, I'm getting all confused.
I guess the idea, I think, if I understood, Kim, she said, take the lump sum now, or if you do take it, spread it out in 5 years, you take the risk whether it goes to your estate or not. But that's what all the other employees are
So I thought that would encourage him to take the lump sum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Got it.
That is consistent with the contracts we have now. We can defend that.
Yes, we can.
Because that handles two of the
We can defend that.
Two of the four. Meritus status.
I don't care.
I don't have a problem with it, to be honest with you.
Why
is
he so hung up on it?
Are you seriously asking that?
Seriously, he is.
It's Bob. That's his ego.
I mean, as a whole, I don't know that and a cup of coffee, I mean, you know, 10 cents, it doesn't get you anywhere.
And he is very, very particular about awards and recognitions. Mm-hmm. He gave us a list of all the things, accomplishments and recognitions, even during his term here, let alone. And then he said he was emeritus with some of the other places he's been at. So this is almost like so important to him. Even his attorney said, this is so important. I said, really? He goes, yes, for him, it's like a deal breaker. I'm like, really? I go, okay, well, you know. So he's just.
I personally don't have a problem with it.
He's really into awards and recognitions.
It doesn't hurt us any.
And the board policy says that the board can make an exception. So we're not going outside of board policy. Yeah. Usually you have to have 15 years of service. There have been others with 10 years of service. So, I mean, we can do it. It's not against what our existing board policy is. And quite frankly, it's not a monetary thing. It's just a recognition that we thought he did an okay job here. Yeah.
And you put the same language in it as you did with naming the building, that you'll get that as long as you
That's a good idea.
Take care of the morale and blah, blah.
The only problem.
Merit status is not conditional.
So does that mean he's coming around?
And you're right. Nobody
No, it just means really he's listed on the website as having a merit status.
Okay,
there's nothing else that
Who else has?
Well, there's others there's a list. I mean, it's not just like Dr. Bruder emeritus status. There's a list of people.
Well, I have emeritus status.
And by the way, there's also.
Oh.
I have it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he has it. So what do you get for your emeritus status?
That's what I say. It's nothing. I mean, no one even knows what it is. And they say, you know, or like on a business card or whatever, you know, professor emeritus. And they're like,
correct.
People really don't know what it is, and nobody cares.
And by the way, it's the same policy. 15 years of service, and unless there's an exception.
I don't want to blow up a monetary deal based on emeritus status.
I have a problem with the emeritus status thing, because that guy put my censure on the goddamn Board of Trustee website. And if he wants emeritus status, I'm not going to do anything unless he takes that thing off.
Well, the resolution was posted because there were requests from the public and requests from media for it, and so it was a resolution that was passed by this board, and that was why it's on there. It's been on there, since August.
There are a lot of resolutions up, though, for the board.
But that was what they were asking for time and time again, so it went up there. That's a much different thing. I think it sounds like a majority of this board now is indicating emeritus status is an acceptable provision.
Yes.
Next up.
Well, what about, do you think anybody could take off my censure off the board's website?
Kathy, we can't talk about it in the exception of the closed session at this time.
Well,
March 2016, we talked about that. The estate wife issue, we've talked about that. Homeland, we put the condition on there. I think it's the best we can do. It was a valid board decision. And then other benefits as available to other retirees.
What about the $20,000?
Oh, yeah, I don't like $20,000, so I forgot to bring it up.
Yeah, I say no on that.
I say no on it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really what we give him in that that benefit is more than many employees make in a month, and we're putting that away every month for his investing. So,
yeah.
I think if he was comfortable from the get-go with either March or June, he wasn't really comfortable with March, but he'll settle on it. I don't think that we need to go back and say, oh, well, we'll give you compensation for time you feel you lost.
Can I just ask, what are the next steps after we all go home today? What happens?
If you approve this, then, not approve, I'm sorry, I don't want to misstate the record. If you show an inclination to support this, the next step would be that Russ and Dr. Bruder's attorney work on the actual legal language for the retirement package. It would be an addendum to his contract. We would have to then have a meeting, a board meeting, to vote on the contract publicly because it is.
But if we're looking for changes from what he came back with, we have to then go back to him, and then his attorney's going to go back to Rez. And
we go back probably with the best and finals. I mean, okay. We came in this room.
He would walk away if he doesn't take it. Is that?
I think he's going to take it based on these issues and your inclination to support it, because that's why we came into this room. Okay. We said what we're going in is with basically a recommendation that both we're likely
don't
to
extend this for another 6 months is what I'm getting at.
No, technically speaking, if we wanted a special board meeting December 29th, we would have this voted on and resolved December 29th.
Oh, can we do that?
Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. We could.
Let's do that.
Merry Christmas.
Well, should we wait?
Well,
he's going to
be gone.
Well, I was going to say,
I mean, he can walk away too.
Right.
But I have confidence that based on what the attorneys and Dr. Bruder and discussed with his attorney, what I've discussed with Russ, is that within these parameters, if we have board support, it's a done deal and we'd be able to write it up.
And just 2 points, just so I'm clear on two of them. The lump sum payment, the deal regarding the payments to his spouse or the estate, I'm going to tell him lump sum, but nothing more than what all the other employees, which means if you take the 5 years, it's with no guarantee that Wendy or your estate will get it. Okay. And then the $20,000, absolutely not, because when you offered the March 2006 retirement, there was no condition about this additional $20,000.
And we were actually wanting December. So we're giving him $20,000 more than we wanted to give him already.
First place. Good point.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
Okay. So, I mean, this could be done for what I think is the lowest amount, although it's a significant amount. I don't make light of it, but it's for the lowest amount that I think we could accomplish this for, given what this or prior boards have done.
I mean, I think given the fact that people at his level of service would get a compensation package like this, it's fair. But the one other thing that we talked about a while ago that I would hope that could be in the language is that we talk about when we first started discussing the terms with him.
Right, okay. And I'll work on that with Russ, and then everybody.
Oh, you mean the history
see.
Of when this started?
Yeah, she's just talking about the write-up for.
Oh, the write-up. Okay.
So that people realize that we just didn't do this now because.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That we've been working on it.
Okay.
Can we? We're not.
Face for everybody.
We're not voting on this, and I don't want to have the record think that we are. But I would like to go around the table and just say yes or no if you are supportive of us moving forward with pursuing this buyout under these parameters. Can we do that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm willing to, Omar? As long as it's you consider it appropriate in a closed session.
Okay. Yeah, it's just showing me what your support is. Yeah, we're polling because I don't want to have an agenda item at a future public meeting if
be surprised
if we're not able to accomplish anything. And this is also subject to him accepting it. Mm-hmm. So, Omar, and then we'll go around.
I do agree with that.
I support it.
I support it.
Well, I mean, for me, it's a mixed bag. I'm glad to see him go. It's too late. March 31st is too late. And the emeritus status, I think it's, you know, asking for a lot in particular, since as we said, you know, I feel it's kind of nasty and petty to put my censure on the board website. I've had many people tell me that. I've had many people say that it angers them to see my censure up there.
Let's stick to Dr. Bruder, please.
No, what I'm saying is that, you know, I feel like I can't, you know, give him any accolades when, you know, he's done nothing but try and attack my reputation. So I guess I don't know if that's a yes or no. It's kind of like a blanket, you know. I think you did wonderfully, Aaron, in getting that number down. I have to be honest with you. I think you did phenomenal work there. But, you know, that's how I feel.
See, my concern is that if we vote on this, mm-hmm. When we started this process and what the board discussed was that we were going to either be unified, and I'm not saying you have to say, yes, I support this, but if we're going to have a vote on this, it's not an opportunity to start talking about all of these other things. I mean, that's under a different forum.
I will not demean the public vote by getting into, you know, nitty-gritty stuff, okay? But what I'm saying here is that, for me, it's a mixed bag. You know, I feel that you know, censure up there, the continued attacking of my reputation does not end with all, you know what I'm talking about.
I
cannot
but
turn
Kathy,
around and give him
I understand
an emeritus
your point.
Status.
I don't have that in me, sorry.
It's not in me to do that.
It just seems unfair. You attack everybody at this table at your meetings outside of this, but then when somebody is trying to defend his position, so I'm tying this back to the president, and when he tries to defend his position and the administration's position, all of a sudden it's an issue. So I support the buyout.
Okay.
Joe?
Yeah, I think I support it.
I support it.
And let me, not to throw a wrench in this, remember we all started, I think, and I want to remind the board, when we started this, it's to try to see if we can reach a mutual understanding so both sides will agree to this and we all walk like happy. It's like a divorce, but we're all like a no-fault divorce type of thing.
So I guess the implicit thing is he is not going to sign off on this unless there is a statement agreed to by this board. So we cannot be going out and saying contrary things to what is agreed to. That was we haven't talked about it as one of our item lists because that was from the get-go that there would be one public statement about the separation of this president. If you want to criticize him for other duties and things like that, that's fine. I mean, that's what you can do. But as it relates to this retirement, the understanding is that we will have one statement going out about this.
That's both sides as well. So he's not going to leave here when he submits his retirement. It's going to be a very fluffy, warm type of retirement. I know it's hard for him to write something like that, but it's not going to be a negative one for sure. I mean, so that's the whole idea as well.
And he can't say anything or we take his big name off of whatever building whenever that happens. I don't even know when that happens. Some year.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wanted it accelerated in the list of wants that he gave us initially. He wanted it to happen, I think.
Yeah, we're not doing, we're doing whatever per the policy or
just
per
the board
the
policy,
vote was.
Whatever the board policy is. But we also added that provision that if he does anything that's going to, in fact, what's the language? Hold on. Oh, as long as he maintains good and moral conduct that doesn't embarrass the college.
Well, that has to be hard for him.
Well,
but we put it in there for future. We can't go back. If he steps out of line with the mutual agreement that there is one unified, I guess, statement, and I'm just using for lack of better terms, that's why we're putting that language in there. He can't then go out and say, you know, that board was nasty to me. This is what happened, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he has to just say what we mutually agree to. Okay. Right?
Correct.
Okay. I'm just saying that's in terms of his buyout contract. I'm not saying it's anything other than part implicit, explicit. I don't know, Rez, will it be explicit that we have to agree to abide by one statement going out or?
Well, yes. I know what I asked for explicitly is his retirement notice with all his fluff and whatever he's going to put in it. We want to see it before we sign this agreement. In fact, it's going to be attached with this agreement so that it's going to be very clear that what he's going to say as his retirement statement.
Right. And we have to approve it. So he doesn't get to just sit in his office and write an essay.
No.
We can edit it.
And it's going to be an exhibit to the agreement. So if we reach an agreement, it's going to be attached to it. So you won't be able to take it back.
Are there questions?
Yeah.
How quickly can this be done? I mean, you were saying the 29th, throwing out an...
I just threw out a special...
Before the next board meeting?
Well, let me tell you this way. His attorney already asked me if I had any feedback. He assumed he got it wrong. He thought the board meeting was tomorrow, and I texted him back, and I said, no, it's going to be tonight, so I'll have some feedback for him tomorrow. And then we'll... I mean, these are small... Well, there are a small number of issues. How Dr. Brewer is going to react is going to be a different issue, but I'm dealing with his attorney. So I should know, hopefully, by Monday.
And then we'll set up perhaps a special meeting soon? Tuesday the 6th?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it looks like. Okay. Are there any other dates or just that one, that week?
Oh.
Well, actually.
One that works.
Okay. All right. Just so.
I think. Yeah. I don't know. All
right. Now, put it in tentatively, but everybody, right? We got to remember, this is subject to him agreeing with it, but.
Well, he doesn't have to be here, right?
Oh, no, he doesn't have to be here. I don't care about
back.
The date. I mean, about is he agreeing to the contract?
Uh-huh. Correct.
He'll be back by then.
We don't need
he
him.
Told us he's coming
oh,
back
he's
on the
29th. Oh, he's going out of town, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's coming back on the 3rd.
January 3rd?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. He's leaving.
And I think it's probably good. It gets us through the holidays anyways, like, for going back and forth if it's necessary. I don't... There shouldn't be a lot of going back and forth at this point. We've already done that dance.
Yeah.
It's just writing it up. Any other questions? I think, Diane, if he, I think, okay, so Diane and I, we'll just talk about it briefly because I don't want to go into it because I do think it's a little premature. If he doesn't accept this, then I think we then talk about how that gets implemented.
But not
if he does accept it, then that's guidelines for our new president.
I do see. So that we would not have any reform for the next year then. If he accepts this buyout and he's ready to go in March of 2016, then he operates as he always has been?
Oh, no. We can still encourage him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying for purposes of tonight, we're probably not writing any of that into the contract.
Okay.
But I want him to accept the buyout. I think that played a good purpose of having him agree to lower figures.
Well, Rez and I worked on this. I worked on it with Aaron as well. I put together 11 directives for the president, and the first two must have put him right in orbit. Effective immediately, face committee recommendations will be honored in a timely way, and such recommendations will only be modified and or overturned upon the college president's recommendation to the board for its approval. And Rez added the little softer language. For me, it was
what
the face recommendation.
What's the face?
That's moving from D to E on the salary range.
Oh.
It's that brand new committee. That's the one where we have a grievance going right now. That was going to happen no matter what. He was going to rubber stamp whatever they said and no questions asked. Rez gave him a little bit of an out, but he has to come to us and explain why. So frankly, I think he's probably going to approve them if we have to implement this. The other one is effective immediately shared governance recommendations will be honored in a timely way, and such recommendations will only be modified and or overturned upon the college president's recommendation to the board for its approval. We've inserted ourselves into those processes because right now they're meaningless. If you talk to Richard Jarman or Glenn Hansen, it's like, you know, especially for the FACE committee, they recommended several individuals to come forward. And Tom Tipton sent me a long email. I don't know if all of you got it or not, but he put additional recommendations in it. He gave me a two-page summary of five inches worth of portfolio and documentation. And he added additional requirements to approval. That was never bargained. I would have, if I were that union president, I would have grieved that in a second. And he undercuts the administration when he does that. He has his own people on that committee and the leadership of CODFA. That should be approved. When they recommend somebody moving from D to E, that should just happen. Shared governance, they feel it's powerless because nothing happens with what they say. It just goes nowhere. We talked about legislative breakfasts and dinners, that at no time will legislators be invited to campus activities without Board of Trustees notification, approval, and participation. Legislative concerns will always be conveyed by trustees or as delegated by the board. It puts us in control, once again, of the legislative process. No longer are we going to be surprised by what Senator Connolly says in Springfield. The internal auditor reports to us instead of to Bob. And we talked about the the auxiliary enterprises, et cetera. The McGraw Wildlife Foundation. I've looked at this online. It's got Sierra Club endorsement. It's not the evil twin. But it was a surprise that he was a member of this organization. And I have learned that the previous chair and vice chair, when Bob was hired, he asked for this membership. And it was granted to him. And if it runs, I'm not sure what the total figure is for the year, maybe 24,000. But this club has been used for various events for the college and for his own personal use as well. But we're going to suspend all that. And that membership won't be his. If he needs to wine and dine donors for the foundation, he does have the Waterleaf for that. So, and we talked about memberships in general. I know on the Board of Trustees line item, there's a $40,000 membership to ICCTA that's in our line item. So lots of the cost centers in the college have memberships. So it's not such a huge thing, but we're going to get rid of it. No more media releases to the public without first having permission and support from the board. No headlines, COD to expand before we've had a chance to vote on a topic. I learned, and I didn't know this, that apparently...
Vote on.
Right.
I mean, we don't want to handicap Joe Moore's ability to, right. to
no,
promote.
No, but he's got... But
if it's items we're voting on,
that's right.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, like that thing mm-hmm. they put out today about the fastest-growing college thing.
Yeah. Effective immediately, no more negotiations or contract modifications without explicit understanding and approval from the board. I didn't like what happened last spring. And no more trash in the state of Illinois every opportunity. The monthly meeting. Oh, professional development stipend. He gets $700 a month for that professional development stipend. And I don't know. I'm sure it's not that way for the faculty. I know it wasn't in K-12. First of all, you have to prove what you're going to do, and you might get some money up front. Chances are you'll be reimbursed after you attend. Mm-hmm. We've never asked for an accounting of those dollars. I don't even know if it's still $700 a month. But such accounting to include but not be limited to listing to where and to whom the money was spent. This is Rez's language, the purpose and outcome achieved for the money that was spent and the amount that was spent. We're going to hold those professional development dollars to some accountability. Right now...
There's a form as a faculty member that I had to fill
sure,
out.
Sure, we all do.
Reimbursed.
And the vacation day schedule comes to us. I mean, we've all seen how the board calendar is determined by things other than what the board wants. It'd be nice to have it be consistent so that we can count on that in our calendar. I know we've been accommodating his vacation schedule.
He does have to notify the chair.
Good. You've had a little knowledge, and that helps.
Heads up.
And the last one was the president will report on a monthly basis during the board's closed session on his progress toward achieving the president's goals for 2015. These goals are really key. The first one has to do with advising, and that one I know he'll delegate, but that's okay. Advising has been the weakest spot in the Noah Levitt survey for years on this campus. We've tried all kinds of ways to make do it better. Let's put some muscle behind it now and make the president accountable. And I've even said, if Noah Levitz could resample our students in this one area, that might be a way to evaluate progress. And I've got four reporting periods in it. And I know you and I have talked about it. Why don't you let me finish the other ones, and then we can go back if you want to talk about it again. The listening session for Code for Representatives. At one point, that was Kim's suggestion that we have a listening session. We think it works better if it's just two trustees and two members of CODFA, and that has actually been set up for 5 o'clock before the January 22nd meeting.
I actually would disagree with that. I think we should meet, you know, a board, the whole board mm-hmm. should meet
CODFA. Well, we could probably evolve that way. We were thinking that to start off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, we're talking about it with respect right. to Dr. Bruder. It used right. to be something we wanted Dr. Bruder to handle, and then we thought, well, maybe it really should be something that the trustees, who's above the mm-hmm. president, can just listen
now,
to.
Now, tonight we heard again from Paula Ford about the master facilities plan. That's a goal, and that should have been updated quite a while ago. And that's an easy one to do. We want those expenditures that made at the time of the 2010 referendum and what they actually were. The update will be due on March 1, 2015, and posted on the website. That's an easy goal. Now, the next two are key. If you studied that PACE survey that we all got, and you heard Glenn Hansen speak that it wasn't as glowing as it's presented, it's better. It's moving in the right direction. And for many employee groups, it's much better. But full-time faculty was still the lowest-ranking group of employees on that survey. They have four areas that they consider to be coercive. It's the lowest ranking you can get, coercive, competitive, collaborative, consultative, collaborative. Coercive is about as low as you can get, and there were four areas. This is what I've said. I'm going to back up. And the last 10 questions of that survey are college-specific to the College of DuPage. There's 10 questions. 7 of the 10 were rated competitive by the college faculty. That's just one step up from coercive. That's a lot of competitive. No, I mean, I have to look again if there was even one collaborative. There must have been some collaboratives because there were no coercives in that list. But this is what I said. Utilizing the most recent PACE results in the category of college-specific leadership domain, those are the last 10 questions of that survey, the president shall present a plan to address the 7 areas in which the full-time faculty indicated a competitive atmosphere rather than consultative or collaborative. This plan should include dialogue and planning with the leadership of CODFA, Faculty Senate, and the Shared Governance Council. So administrators are there as well. It's a big group. President has to be present. He can't delegate that. Two trustees may also sit in on those discussions. We've heard from the faculty that they're very hesitant to speak honestly in front of the president. They fear retribution. It might have to start out with a couple of us showing up to be present just to make sure that things go the way they should. In addition, the president shall present a collaborative, inclusive plan, see goal, the goal above, to address the 4 areas in which the full-time faculty perceive the atmosphere at COD to be coercive, and I listed the 4 numbers, all of which deal with communication issues related to decision-making, a spirit of cooperation, open and ethical communication, and the sense of community at the college. Once again, 2 trustees may also sit in on these discussions. Now, how are we going to hold them accountable? By no later than June of 2015, the president shall submit to the board a joint document detailing the progress made on goals 4 and 5 above. Those are the coercive and the competitive areas. Such document to be signed jointly by CODFA president and the college president. Rez added another little sentence here. I was ending it right there. If no joint signed document is submitted, the college president must submit to the board a report detailing the progress on both goals and a listing or an explanation of the issues pending as to why the document was not signed by the CODFA president. We can't put, the CODFA president will also tell us what's going on, but we could ask. And then the last one. No, we got rid of that one. Because I did get information from Jim Bente on access and success. In the information you gave us, Kim, or maybe it was Nancy, how to select a president?
You gave us that.
There was one in there on access and success. And honestly, we're doing really well compared to the peer group that we're lumped in with, which are all over the country, but they're our same size, and they're our suburban, maybe urban, but more suburban, big community colleges. We do well on success and access. In just maybe one area, we fall short, and that's developmental English. And I just didn't know if it was worth making it a separate goal. We've done much better in developmental math. Our students are doing a much better job of getting out of that and getting into credit classes. But this was presented to the president last Thursday, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, he's familiar with the direction that the board is hoping for some new goals and directives.
Because we've never given him goals.
Not in this style.
I mean, what he would say, he always said to us, his personal goals were the institutional priorities. And so then nothing fell into his basket because it was all delegated. I mean, he had to oversee it all. The buck stopped at his desk. But we were never personally involved in his leadership style.
Right. And so, now he has an understanding that the board is looking for some more from him. But I haven't had a conversation with him to really solidify it because I want to see him accept the buyout.
And maybe that's what we go first.
We think we got to do this first because I can say it. Everybody at this table says, yeah, it's time for him to go for various reasons. Here's finally something that sounds like we're all saying, okay, this is mutually acceptable. I'd like him to say yes to this. I'd like us to have this solidified, and then we can probably continue the conversation about what he already knows is in the pipeline, and then also use that for our next president.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to address the issues that were raised by the vote of no confidence, and they've been waiting 5 months for this. And I'm telling you, if the faculty
they're aware
could
that we're
see.
Meeting with them,
right?
They're aware that we're meeting with them to address that vote of no confidence. Just listening. Nothing is going on with... You look confused. I'll tell you about it in a
second.
Yeah,
we're just going to get
the faculty.
So they know that on the... Because it's prior to our next board meeting, correct?
We're just having coffee to talk.
And who are the two that are doing that, the two of you? Okay. And
Glenn reached out to me about what's going on with the vote of no confidence. So I'm going to sit down, listen to him. Diane is going to participate because she was a point of contact as well. She came up with some of these ideas. And... it's just an initial one. It's to see how can we improve relations, how can we listen to some of their concerns, but we're not making any decisions. It's like a coffee with...
And you're going to collect that information and share it with us, perhaps
yeah, we would
in a
update
closed
you.
Session?
Of course.
But I just think
and
it would
can
be
I,
nice...
Oh, sorry. As it sticks to the president, I really want to stick to the exception for why we're allowed to have a closed session. If we're talking more about other things, we need to do that in a different forum. Sorry, I don't want to feel like I'm shutting people down.
Can I just comment? Because this is related to the president and the possible directives we're going to give him. That I would really want to see, and not to, I love all the work you did, but there's things that I might tweak in what you've written because we do want to empower the people of the college. We want to control the president, but we want to empower the people. And so I, just listening to that isn't enough for me to process all of that and feel I can sign on to
a full
document.
And Diane brought it to you guys today because, to inform you of what's been going on. It's a brainstorming event that we can work on as a board going forward. It's something we can work on with our only employee going forward.
And
we will.
The board as a whole, not just...
Most definitely.
So, like the two of you were doing a lot of, with Rez, doing a lot of...
Because that's what the board authorized us last time. I mean, you guys saw Diane take this initiative on.
Okay. I feel the same way Nancy does. I would like to get a copy of that and read it. But I also think that these interactions with the union, the interactions with the union are something, this coffee with the union, I think it would be great if the whole board could meet with them.
But you have to take into consideration, Kathy, that it's a starting point and that they have also expressed that if the entire board is here and they are coming to us like an inquisition and telling us things, it might not be the best way to go.
Did they say that?
Yes,
they said
Kathy.
They felt like it. You don't have to talk to me like that. Calm down.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree with me or you agree with Aaron?
Aaron, that I think that is a starting point. And two, we can do that a lot faster than we could some other kind of thing.
maybe Joe wants to be in on it.
With this other document, because I know we're not supposed to. I'm hesitating at taking any notes. Because in a closed session, everything has to be submitted. Yeah. So, even now, having had that read into our closed session, is that something we can only deal with in closed session?
Well, it's just concerning the president right now. It's not something. I don't know. I think we're going beyond.
Well, but what Diane just talked about is appropriate for closed session. We're still talking about performance, directives, and goals for the president.
Yeah, we haven't totally agreed on those. We haven't totally agreed on what she's written.
You're right, and it's not being implemented. She's bringing it to the board to talk about it.
But as we,
we can't read it.
I'm sorry, there are two people talking. So just for the recording, can one? I'm not saying who, but.
And also it's 10:18.
I'm just saying that if we're going to be presenting this, we have to agree on it, and we have to talk about it some more, I think, before we start implementing it.
Okay.
Right. And I think that's what Nancy's saying, basically.
I think everybody also agrees with that. We're not implementing anything. This is a discussion.
Do you think I could read that?
I think we're keeping that kind of private until we decide.
Well, can I read it after you're done with it? Before we leave tonight, just 5 minutes?
When we get the working copy done, everybody will have the benefit to look at it.
Because it's still a work in progress. Rez and I have worked on it. I started with the piece that I had last month when I talked about a different kind of committee altogether. But when I thought about all the areas where I wanted to see improvement, it became a different kind of thing.
I know, but maybe we have areas that where we think things need to be improved. And so, if you want, I can submit them to you, and you can incorporate them in your document. Is that okay?
That'd be fine.
And then we can talk about them January 22nd in closed session, because we'll know if we have a special meeting January 6th, we'll kind of know what direction we're going, and then we can discuss it again January 22nd, and incorporate some other ideas.
That makes sense.
Is it possible in terms of planning for this possible thing with the president? Because I would like to have a chance to read it in total at some point.
Me too.
Not to, for you guys to polish it might be a little premature, but I do better when I get a chance to read and study and see all my tabs in the book and things like that.
Yeah, I do too. I need to read it.
Is that like a breach of open meetings?
Ideas and maybe give them to Diane. We can discuss them on the 22nd. I think that's where we need to go.
About the advising piece?
Yeah.
Some of the other things that were run, or even under, because as you were clipping through it, it's not the same as having time to really focus in.
That's the way I feel, too. I need to see it. I need to spend time looking at the paper.
A new way of operating.
You're talking about a new way of operating, but we haven't had a chance to really look at that, or even like after the meeting, 5 minutes. If you just let me read the last part of it, that would be helpful. Because I didn't get a chance to absorb what you said.
Record needs to be clear that Diane had the authority to brainstorm these ideas. We said we had an inclination that we would like to brainstorm ideas. So let's continue the brainstorming.
Okay.
Submit ideas. We'll continue the brainstorming. We will continue this on the 22nd.
It's late.
Yes. And I have, I think, 12.
At the same time, we're going to mess up.
There's a lot more public comments to go.
Right.
So at this point in time, I think we should... Well, I don't know, Russ. What should I do? Do I go into open session and then take a recess?